I'm Adam Evans with the NIRS News. Footage obtained by the ABC 730 program has revealed confronting scenes of Queensland police officers beating an Indigenous teenager with a baton in a Brisbane watch house. The vision shows officers using the intercom to ask Jason to stop yelling out before entering his cell. Within seconds, they have the teenager in a headlock while one strikes him with a baton 3 times until his legs give way. The incident occurred in August 2023 at a watch house in Brisbane South. The 17-year-old, who has been called Jason to protect his privacy, had been in the watch house for 5 days after being arrested and remained in custody on multiple charges. Police say the force was justified and reasonable, but Queensland's Family and Child Commissioner Natalie Lewis told the ABC further investigation is needed.
The child is entitled to exactly the same expectation that we would have for any victim of violence, and that's that they are listened to and that they're heard, and that that matter is investigated in a way that is fulsome and that is transparent.
If you get paid a weekly or fortnightly wage, chances are you've noticed a few extra dollars in the bank. That's the Stage 3 tax cuts at work.
It kicks off straight away, so you should notice your first paycheck of this financial year will have a little bit more in it, provided that you know your wages stay the same as last financial year. So that's a good news story, and something that you might not see directly as well is the mandatory contributions to your superannuation has now gone up by another 0.5. Of a percent. So on top of getting a little bit more on your take-home pay, it'll mean that you've got a little bit more going into your super as well for when you retire.
That's Dungardy man and chartered accountant Josh Duke speaking to NIRS News. The Stage 3 tax cuts came into effect last week on July 1 and mean you pay slightly less tax each time you're paid. Someone who's earning $45,000 a year will pay 16% tax instead of 19%. Scientists have questioned the ancestral links between dingoes and dogs after tracking their arrival in Australia thousands of years ago. The research team collected over 40 ancient dingo specimens dating from close to 3,000 years ago and compared the data with DNA from modern breeds worldwide. The University of Queensland team says the data disproves the myth that dingoes mixed with other dog breeds and that dingoes essentially retained much of their ancestral genetic profile. Dr. Sally Wasif is a forensic research fellow in paleogenics at the University of Queensland.
The problem with Australia is that it's highly humid. Temperature is fluctuating all the time, which is the main reason to degrade DNA very quickly.
She told National Radio News that she was surprised archaeologists were able to collect specimens from so long ago due to Australia's climate. Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the significance of that conflict on the Indo-Pacific region will be high on the agenda at a NATO meeting in the United States this week. This year marks the 75th anniversary of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, which now boasts 32 member states. Australia is also an ally. The Deputy Prime Minister, as well as representatives from New Zealand, Japan and South Korea, have all been invited to the conference. Richard Miles says it's a significant step for the Indo-Pacific region.
We're certainly very pleased about the focus that the Biden administration has placed on the Indo-Pacific, on the issues which are front and centre for Australia.
We'll have more coming up next.
Hey mob, it's Murray from the Curry, Trendy Trev here. Join me on Talk Black, weekday mornings from 11 a.m. Queensland Murray time for an hour of good yarns, talk back and more. Talk Black Mondays through to Fridays on the National Indigenous Radio Service. Too dirty, you mob.
To sport, and West Coast Eagles coach Adam Simpson has backed the club's call to end his reign that has included an AFL premiership. The Eagles say they reached a mutual agreement with Simpson to end his time in charge after the weekend's home game against the Brisbane Lions. Simpson says it's the right time to make the change.
It's mutual. I feel like the time's right. You know, I've been reasonably stoic over the last few years about the direction of the club, and now it's a slow burn, and it's going to take a bit of time, and that my position hasn't changed. But someone comes in with energy and gets to grow with the group. I think it's the right call.
To stay up to date with the NIRS news, follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, or visit our website at nirs.org.au.
Applications are now open for Ergon Energy Network's apprenticeship program. Work outdoors with your hands, helping to build and maintain the electricity grid of the future. You'll get paid while you learn, and when you finish, you're fully qualified. Jobs are available right across Queensland, in major regional centres and small country towns, and you can even earn more in remote locations. They're looking for more First Nations peoples to join the team, so hurry, apply now. Applications close 15th of July. Go to ergon.com.au/apprenticeships.
Station sponsor.
There's a simple private and free test you can do to detect early signs of bowel cancer. If you're over 50, you should receive a screening kit in the mail every 2 years. You can also order a kit online or talk with your health worker. It's important to do the test as soon as you can. Too many of our mob are getting sick from bowel cancer. That's why I did the test and encouraged my community to do it too. If found early, almost all bowel cancers can be treated. Screening for bowel cancer can help you stay strong and healthy for yourself, your family, and community. For more information, have a yarn with your health worker or visit indigenousbowelscreen.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. I'm going to catch up a yarn now with two deadly rangers. They're coming from the Stradbroke Island, North Stradbroke Island, or Mirudubra, down there on the island, talking about protecting our koalas and marsupial residents and looking at the populations of koalas on North Stradbroke Island and the work they're doing there using fire and what have you. And got the rangers on the line. We have Kaya Morgan and we have Ryan Kutriak. A very good morning, you guys. How are you?
Good.
Thank you very much. Start with you, Kaya. Who your mob were you from, sister?
Yeah, my name's Kaya. I'm a Quandamooka woman from Mindurupa, North Stradbroke Island.
Beautiful. Ryan?
Ryan, Quandamooka man from North Stradbroke Island.
All right, beautiful. So you're on country, working on country, and getting paid to do it. I mean, that's got to be the best job in the world, yes?
You can't have anything better.
I hear you. Oh, fantastic. Thank you for coming to the program. So we're talking about the koala populations, doing the count, doing the numbers, also looking after them, protecting them, deadly marsupial residents on Stradbroke Island. Or Mindurupa is the name of the country, is that right?
Mindurupa.
Yeah. Lovely, fantastic. So tell us the work that you're doing, and also when we're talking about using fire as a tool to look after country, it's a balancing act, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, it's very delicate at the moment.
Mm. And tell us the work you're doing regarding, well, technology, drones, for example, in the 21st century. Tell us the work that you guys are doing there, please.
We've got one of our funding grants through WWF. Mm-hmm. Then we contacted AI system programmer, Roboto, in Denmark. They've come over and spent 2 weeks with us. We've been flying around all blocks of the island, trying to identify koalas to train the AI system.
Yes.
That in the future is going to go out and we can fly every burn block and work out where the koalas are sitting, put in fire breaks, will then tell us how to burn the block properly to minimise any damage or wildlife.
Yes. Like I said, it is a balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very... Most of the koala blocks that we've been looking at is in swampland or on the edge. So it's we've got the young rangers that we work with as well. They'll go out and put manual fire breaks in around on the edge of the swamp to give us the best chance, and they may go in and burn off from there.
Mm. Kaya, what's the name of your ranger group there, and who do you work under, sister?
So we work for Kayak. That's the group we work under. So it's the Qualls Market, Quandamooka Land and Sea Rangers.
Acronym QYAC, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fantastic. And how long you guys have been rangers?
I've been working for Kayak for 4 years, but just started to do the more working on country for about 3 to 4 months now.
And how are you enjoying that, my sister?
Yeah, I love it. It's great to be back on country and working with family. It's really good.
Beautiful. Ryan, yourself, bro?
I've been about 4 years.
Yeah.
Started off as a machine operator when I come in for Kayak, and then I moved into the office. And last year we did all the training with the drones.
Yes.
We got the license, and then they made me chief pilot for the drones. So
there you go, pilot.
Slowly worked my way in, which is nice, and
deadly.
Got a lot of help from the mob.
So deadly.
Everyone's looking after me.
And how many rangers you got on board? And we got men and women, have we?
Yeah, there's a couple of girls.
Cool.
We just got a grant, I think, for the young women's rangers group to start up.
Good. Girls can do anything. Hey, Kaya.
Yeah, exactly.
Good. Yes. Watch out, Ryan. Brother, going to take over there.
That's it.
No, fantastic. But it's a team effort. It's getting it together, working with mob, especially young ones, training them, and, look, taking it into the future for looking after North Stradbroke Island, your country, yep?
Yeah, it's definitely a great opportunity over here.
Mm.
Most of us are all family or mob.
Yes.
Somewhere along the way.
Exactly.
So it's great being out in the field.
Mm. Exactly. So if you're looking for a partner, Ryan, you have to go outside that circle, don't you, brother?
Yeah, bro. Gotta go hit the mainland.
That's right. Exactly. Look, love the work that you guys are doing. Fantastic. You are looking after country, looking after our beautiful marsupial residents there, our koalas, you know, our true brothers and sisters in the gum trees, but it's also looking after the country. It is a balancing act, and using technology when you're talking about drones and what have you, but also we're talking about having mob working on country, looking after country, and that's got to be the best job in the world, yes?
Nothing better.
Fantastic. Well, big shout out to your Deadly Rangers and the Kayak mob. Fantastic. Keep in touch. Keep doing what you're doing, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
Deadly,
thank you.
All right, too deadly. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. That's Kaya Morgan, ranger, and she's enjoying the journey there, 3 months there, 4 years in the job, but just been moved over to different areas, as well as Ryan in Kiriakt, and both are traditional owners of the land at Minjirua, which is North Stradbroke Island, and look, working closely with our koalas and protecting them and using fire as a tool, looking after country, of course, is how we operate. Have you saying Yarn Up Strong here on National Talk Black. We're live, hit the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBN Bumbaribrit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly.
Going to see My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
1-800-422-416.
Indigenous people like you and me.
G'day you mob, this is Tanya Kernighan with Trendy Trev and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbadrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service, Yarn Up Strong, New Mob, 2 Deadly. And happy NAIDOC to you all, wherever you may be. Keep the fire burning. And black, loud and proud, as always we are. Look, with that, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with 2 Deadly Sisters. We've got Carla Rogers, co-director of Evolve Communities, and the Deadly Auntie Manya Andrews, and who's also a co-director. Ladies, girls, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Happy NAIDOC.
Happy NAIDOC week, Trevor.
Happy NAIDOC. And our favourite, Murray from the Curry.
There you go. Represent. Thank you. Too beautiful. Auntie Manya, I'll start with you, darling. Who your mob were you from?
Yeah, so my mob are the Bardi people from the Dampier Peninsula of Western Australia, just north of Broome there.
Beautiful. And like I said, that's cold country too, eh, Auntie?
Mm.
Proper.
Cold country? No, it's not.
Too deadly. And Carla Rogers, who your mob were you from, sister?
Yeah, so my mob were the convicts on the First Fleet.
Yes.
And I've been so lucky to live and grow and play on Darawal country.
Yes.
Where my mob invaded.
Yep, exactly. So, well, we welcome you, my true sister. And you came to the dark side, so that's beautiful.
Yeah, that's right.
It's much better on this
side. Listen, congratulations out to Evolve Communities, which is the organisation you two Deadly Sisters run. Winners of the prestigious 2024 Telstra Best of Business Award for Building Communities. How deadly you mob.
We've been having fun watching we watched the NAIDOC Awards on Saturday night, and Auntie was just saying, oh, it reminds me a bit of those awards. Yeah. But, what a great celebration this week.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. So for our listeners, just tell us what Evolve Communities, what do they do? Tell us what you do.
Yeah, well, we talk, Trevor, a lot about, only just over 3% of our population is First Nations people.
Yes.
And so it's up to people like me, non-Indigenous people, the 97%, to stand up and educate ourselves so that we can mostly learn from, there's so much to learn from First Nations peoples and wisdom. And so we teach, but a lot of people like me are frightened of saying or doing the wrong thing, just don't know how to go about it. So we teach people the skills to be effective allies.
Exactly. And that's how I look at NAIDOC. NAIDOC is a beautiful bridge for our non-Indigenous brothers and sisters to come across, learn, walk a mile in our moccasin, so to speak, you know. It's a bridge builder, and it's about, promoting, educating, inspiring all peoples about our beautiful culture, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, NAIDOC is for everybody, and that's what Auntie Lynette Riley, who's the chairperson of the NAIDOC committee, has said, you know. For me, she said, this is about ensuring that the dreams of our elders who started NAIDOC as a protest are honoured. Yes. And one way to do that is by being involved. So
being involved,
we're trying to emphasise to everybody. Get in there, enjoy and celebrate us mob.
Exactly.
So we just come off a yarning webinar, Trevor. We're running 9 this week.
9 seminars. Webinars, 9 webinars. How deadly, yes?
Yeah, and 9 of one of them, we've got like over 1,000 people coming to that.
Yep.
And it's all mostly non-Indigenous people, but we're sharing, you know, how can we as allies help keep the fires burning? And Auntie's sharing wisdom from fire teachings, Auntie?
Yeah, so I teach them about the sacred voodoo fire teachings that our mob would teach the little kids ethics and how to behave in society while they're sitting around a campfire. Mm. So things like that we share.
That's fantastic. So with these 9 webinars, how do people get involved? Can they be a part of it? I mean, what's the address? Is it open webinars? Yes.
Yeah, just the public one.
Yeah, there's a public one tomorrow at 1 o'clock, I believe. And so people can jump on our website. It's evolve.com.au. And, can have a look at getting involved. Yep. We've also got lots of ideas what people can do in their local community and that for getting involved. And you're saying you've come from a breakfast yourself, Trevor?
Yeah, we had NAIDOC breakfast here in Cairns, and it looked fantastic. And big shout-out to the Cairns NAIDOC committee and also DIG, and that's Deadly Indigenous Youth Doing Good. So it was a team effort. And look, it was fantastic. 350 people at the Cairns Convention Centre for breakfast here in Cairns, the most they've ever had, so which is fantastic, getting bigger and better. And look, it's a powerful tool when we talk about NAIDOC and, like I said, educating people and talking about our culture. And we need to be strong. And I think feet in both camps, my sisters, when we talk about keep your culture strong, but put your foot in the other camp in regarding business or operating in the so-called white world, it strengthens us, doesn't it? We can be best of both worlds, can't we?
Yeah, that's it. And, and just relate it. We can all relate to a fire, hey, Trevor, and sitting around and yarning around a fire. And so we're inviting people this week to go and, if you can, maybe light a fire and have a sit and have a think about, you know, what's so beautiful about First Nations culture and people.
Exactly.
And there's this brilliant song, Trevor. You would have thought it was written for this week. It's from Up Your Way.
Yep.
It's called Keep the Fires Burning by the Catholic Education Diocese. It was done quite a few years ago.
It's back on the table now, of course, with the so fitting for the theme.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful song, you know, keep
the fire burning.
Yeah, too dead.
Feel the fire.
And when we talk about Evolve Communities, which you lovely ladies are co-directors of, how many on board? Just the two of you on board?
No, we've got a small team.
Okay.
Yeah. We've got, there's probably about, like, full-time, there's about 10 of us.
Okay, lovely, yes, yes.
Yeah. And we've got a Indigenous head of our ally program, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And then we have a lot of people that work for us as, Indigenous facilitators, as subcontractors. So, probably 20 to 30 all up.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic, beautiful. So team effort, and we've got First Nation crew as well as men and women?
We do, not by design, but we do have more women.
Girls can do anything. Girls can do anything.
Extra deadly, Trevor.
Yes, you girls are deadly. I'm hearing you. I respect my body. I'm not going to step on your toes.
But, we're like half-half.
Beautiful, which is fantastic.
So half mob, half non-Indigenous people, and but we're always looking for, particularly for facilitating as well.
Yeah.
Lovely, beautiful. And Evolve Communities, how long have you been operating for, and how did it all start for you both?
Oh, I founded it in 2005, and then we're up in the Gulf of Carpentaria up at Doomadgee in Mornington Island.
My
big
country.
Project.
Yep, yep.
Your country, and in 2011.
Good.
Working with communities up there, and Auntie Manya came along and helped me on that project, and we were sitting on the dock of the bay, sitting at the wharf at Mornington Island, and we thought, you know, we had this vision for a kinder, more inclusive Australia, and that celebrates and learns from First Nations wisdom, and we'd like, well, how are we going to do that? And that's how these programs were born back in 2011.
Yep, from little things, big things grow. We should make a song out of that. Congratulations.
Really
too
awesome.
Deadly.
Yeah.
And here you are now winning Telstra Best of Business Awards now for building communities.
That was a bit of a nice job, wasn't it, Auntie? Yeah. A lot of work went into it, but
Good.
It's awesome, the number of other Indigenous businesses
sure.
there.
Sure, yes.
Yeah.
Good to be recognised.
We really, yeah, recognised. And we were really excited to win the Building Communities Council.
Yeah. And look, and congratulations. It just shows that whatever you're doing, it's working. You're kicking goals. People are acknowledging you, recognising you. And that's just becomes a powerful statement, which is great. So they indicate you're doing a good thing, my sisters.
Right, yeah, and it's all the brothers and sisters with us. So we're looking for like thriving communities of allies, and it's amazing the work that people are doing. Hey, Auntie.
Yeah.
Well, too, Deli, congratulations.
It's all about that community, and it's the only way we're going to grow and heal as a country. Hey.
Exactly. Yep. We have to get it together, don't we?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I like your quotable quotes, Trevor.
Yeah, love them. Yeah, live life to the fullest. Well, the other hat I wear is a motivational speaker. So I just got a desire to inspire, and there's love yarning to a mob and getting their right frame of mind and helping them become the best that they can be. So with your webpage, how do they find it? Evolve.com.au?
Yeah, Evolve with an S on the end.
Evolves, yep.
Evolve.com.au. But also check out, like, the socials. Auntie's just goes viral on TikTok.
Oh, okay.
I think Auntie was the first person ever that's been banned. First Aboriginal person maybe. She was banned from TikTok.
See?
First Auntie banned from TikTok.
See, they can keep the fire burning. Auntie always fired up, that's why.
Yeah. And that was just that the TikTok algorithms mustn't have recognised Aboriginal languages.
Yep, there you go. That's right, exactly. Well, we're educating people across the planet, so too deadly, my sisters. Good yarn with Yanni Munya. Thank you. Carla, thank you.
Yep.
All the best.
Thanks, Trevor. Always good. Happy NAIDOC week.
Happy NAIDOC week. Everyone. Stay strong, sisters.
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn, and that's Animanya Andrews and with her co-director partner there, Carla Rogers, and they run Evolve Communities. And I always say, if it doesn't evolve me, then it doesn't involve me. So there it is. That involves you in regarding communities. Do check it out, Evolves, with an S on the end, .com.au, and check out all their webinars. Fantastic. Happy NAIDOC, you mob. Keep the fire burning. Be strong and enjoy your journey. And this is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Too deadly, big shout-out to the NERS team, and big shout-out to First Nation radio stations across this beautiful country of ours, a deadly black network, too deadly. National Talk Black, have your say, yarn up strong.
If only you could see what this show me.
Let's talk about
Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives Matter. Brother Walker.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
I stand with you in the room.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
We hit the streets, begging for the people to see what our life worth, but they don't want to believe. Claiming all lives matter, but you ain't the rally. I stand on the shoulders of the fan that come before me just the same as you, fan. So what you doing with the fact that you inherited? Disinheritance took the privilege, y'all took the wealth, took the lives of innocent boys and girls, still denying our experience, made to feel lesser. I work with these kids and they telling me they fed up. I'm working with these white folk who know enough for better. I'm working with the government, another pet nigga, new day, same bitch. Nothing changed, we afraid. We glorifying mediocrity up to this day. Let's be real about it, and maybe then we can transform this country, heal the pain for my great grandmama, for my nana, for my cousins, for my sisters and my mama, for our brothers up in lock up, for these white folk who sick and confused, and for these pleas who sick enough to treat us the way that they do, for these politicians who forgot about what it means to operate from a place of humanity. Look, forget the pride and self-righteousness. This is gonna take a whole lot more than your good intent. Come on, let's go.
If only you could see what this all means. Black Lives Matter. If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Look, we sacrifice another black voice. Why? Just to prove another white point. Right.
I will stand for the justice. I tell you what the problem. This is not a problem. This is catastrophic. Mama didn't raise me. Typical complacent. Now she showed me love in her heart. It's so amazing. So I'ma push it forward. Praying for the fallen. Dreaming of the day we can look it in the face and not walk on by. For the lies that they preach us. The violence, silent agreements. The pride and deceit. My willingness to believe for the nightmare. That this down dear to my dream. And I'm dreaming, I'm dreaming. The better ways of a better day. And some change that ain't gonna take another couple hundred years. Nothing. We push above where we are. It ain't hard if we all get the courage to get up and get involved with it. Let it, let it love. Come on. If only you could see what this all means. Black life matters.
Baby, 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 baby.
If only you could see what you're doing to me.
Let's talk about it. Family. Look.
Your black life matters.
Hi, I'm Joe Madden, Director of Child and Family in Far North Queensland. My department is responsible for the child protection system here in Far North Queensland. We work to support parents and protect children when there is evidence of abuse and neglect. Children and young people who can't live safely at home rely on other families coming forward to open their hearts and their homes to care for them. Fostering kinship care is the heart and soul of our child protection system. My hope today is to provide a better understanding of the critical need for more members of the community to consider becoming foster or kinship carers. In 2022-23 year, there was an average of 600 approved carer families in Far North Queensland, which is fantastic. However, we really need more. In the same year, around 1,300 children were living away from home in the region. In other words, they weren't able to live with their families. Most of these were First Nations children. Of these First Nations children, 70% were in home-based care, such as foster or kinship care. However, this means 30%, or around 300 children, were not in foster or kinship care. They were in residential care or other care arrangements. For some young people, residential care is the right place for them because of their individual circumstances. This can include complex needs such as disabilities, and they get great care and support. But what we know is there are far too many very young First Nations children in residential care, and this is not what we want to see. We believe they should be living safely with foster and kinship care families in the community. And we believe this would give these little ones a better chance to thrive, learn and grow up strong in culture and life skills. So today we're asking members of the community to not wait to be asked. We would love for you to put your hand up because there are little ones who need you to come forward today. If you can help, please express an interest to us or to the local foster and kinship care agency in becoming a carer. Once you come forward, you will then receive information on the process, what's needed, and the allowances and the support that you'll receive. We know this might seem daunting to begin with, but we can assure you that agencies are there to train and support foster and kinship carers so they're not alone in doing this important job. Today, we have representatives from our culturally appropriate foster and kinship care service at Wootshopperin. Child Safety funds the organisation to recruit, train and support First Nations foster and kinship carers in Far North Queensland. Karen is able to talk more about the work they do and the support that's available for foster and kinship carers.
Here is an important message from Wootshopperin.
Hi, I'm Karen Salam. I manage the Foster and Kinship Care Service of Wootshopperin Health Service. Are you passionate about making a difference in an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander child's life? Across North Queensland, there is an urgent need for more kinship, foster and relief carers for our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children. Every day, children are being removed from their homes due to harm, neglect or family crisis. What is Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service? Wootshopperin's Foster and Kinship Care Service provides support to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander carers, opening their lives and homes to children in times of need. Our placement support workers work with the community to identify safe, caring and loving homes for long or short periods of time that will also provide strong family and cultural connections. Why be a kinship, foster or relief carer? By becoming a Wootshopperin kinship, foster or relief carer, you will help keep Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children and young people safe, during a challenging time in their lives. As a priority, and through your guidance, support and care, you will help our kids stay with or continue to be connected to their family, culture and community and reach their full potential. Being a carer is highly rewarding and makes an enormous difference to the lives of our young people. Carers are also celebrated and acknowledged for their dedication at events like the Fostering Kinship Carers Week. We are here to guide you. Wuchopperen's placement support staff works with carers every step of the way to support them on their journey. Carers will also have access to support and become equipped with new skills and knowledge to help provide care for our children. Additionally, carers receive support and training. Our staff are on call and there is a carer allowance which you can access. If you decide to become a carer, you will have a team of Aboriginal and or Torres Strait Islander workers to help you with any issues and provide strength in times of need. They will be there to celebrate the wins with you and help you move through the challenging times together. What's the next step? Our dedicated team will take you through every part of the process in becoming a carer. So if you are interested and ready to make a difference for our children, call Wuchopperen on 40801080 to learn more.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day. Roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but Cesseroy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but Cesseroy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but Cesseroy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but Cesseroy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but Salasia come, Salasia come. Killing and pillaging, they don't give a damn. Burning the villagers in a demonic craze. Broadswords, knives, and their muskets ablaze. War Salasia come. Listen to my drum. Roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but only my toy, but roll my toy, but Salasia come, Salasia come. Piadra Miriam from Lassendam. Run to the south, ya be alarm. An old man and his wife were hacked with a knife. Oh, Salasia come. Listen to my drum. Roll my toy, but roll my toy, but roll my toy, but toy patty my toy parol my toy patty Cesseroy patty my toy parol my toy patty roll my toy patty my toy parol my toy patty Salasia come Salasia come Cometa Milram from Sebek to Kiam might get their bones lay exposed to bleach in the sun there's blood on the beach. War Salasia come, listen to my drum. Bright at last.
remember your past. You will make those same mistakes again. Your future's bright at last, but if you forget your past, you will make those same mistakes again. You lay buried on the shores of Werbadu. I hear your spirit cry like the call of the moon. You call to me, come listen to my drum. You call to me, come listen to my drum. Nimau is calling you, come listen to my drum.
Jenda Banapi Bamanda, Jenda Bakajanda Bamanda. We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416-98.7 FM BBM.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, you mob, on National Talk Black, too deadly. All right, from country to the classroom, building relationships that empower teachers, students and communities. Talking about taking teachers to the mountain, that's what it's all about. And we're going to catch up a yarn now with Deadly Brother Kevin Lowe, lead investigator on the Culturally Nourishing School Associate Professor. He's on this project, fantastic project, and Kevin online. Kevin, good morning.
Thank you so much, Trevor. Great to hear from you and great to hear your intro.
Yeah, too deadly, my brother. Thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Kevin.
Trevor, I'm a Gabbian fellow from southeast Queensland. I grew up in country New South Wales. My mum was a single mum and was living in what was Gomeroi country, or in Gomeroi country, and moved down to Wiradjuri country, and then finally moved down to Sydney to, when I was a teenager, and I settled here. I've taught out in central New South Wales, right out to the west, out there towards Bourke, and I've settled back to Sydney to work at a university to try to sort of put all things I've learnt as a teacher into the heads of new emerging teachers and to sort of try to give back to the community.
Beautiful, fantastic. And when you look at this topic here we're talking about, from country to classroom, it's a beautiful vehicle, you could say, and taking the teachers to the mountain, so to speak, you know. And you being a First Nation man, I mean, how simple is it? You know, life is simple. People complicate it, or the curriculum complicates it. You're taking the teachers to country and looking at our mob, our students who are, you know, on land, on country, more open-minded, more eager to learn because they're comfortable in their own space, are they not?
They are, absolutely. And I must say, look, what we're trying to do here, Trevor, is, in a sense, you know, we're looking at the sort of the realities of where our kids are. And our kids are, you know, going to schools, you know, all over the countryside, and they often, you know, have teachers in front of them who I'm a great believer in teachers. I grew up in a teaching family, and I've seen lots of really, really good teachers, but I've seen a lot of confused teachers, and I've seen a lot of teachers who are really confused by the historical poor relationships that have sort of settled across schools between Aboriginal families and communities and schools, and the lack of acknowledgement and recognition that schools don't have about the sort of the experiences and traditions and aspirations of our family. So, you know, our work in this space of the learning from country is it's one element of a much larger project where we're working with teachers to change their practices. We're working with principals to change how they understand being a principal in a school that Aboriginal kids should look like and what their responsibilities are. And we're also looking to re-empower our community to sort of take a real interest in the school and to start becoming more demanding of what they expect schools to provide for their kids in school. So the learning from country is the very first element and one of the elements that we keep on coming back to over and over again throughout the year. We take a group of teachers and we work with them for a whole year and we sort of take them back over and over again to this concept of country. What does it mean when a kid gets up and says, you know, I'm a Wiradjuri kid, or I'm a Gubbi Gubbi child, or, you know, I'm from, you know, other communities. They're actually sort of telling schools so much about themselves, and they want the schools to understand that. And schools have got really often no idea what that actually means, their aspirations for identity. So we ask the community to really step up and take these teachers on a journey.
Yes.
Now, what's the journey that they want? What is it that they want this group of teachers to know about them? What's the story that they want to be left in the minds of those teachers for them not to forget every time they're in classrooms and they've got kids in front of them? What is it that they need to know and remember about this community and what they want for their children? So that's where we start, and we go out on country, we travel across the country. But in some places, you know, we've been working in inner city locations. You know, one of our schools is right here in the middle of Redfern, you know, Day Dot, I guess, where the whole revolution of black politics started way back when. And they take those teachers on a different journey, but they go down to the places that really matter to them.
Yeah.
So that's the sort of things we do, and we're individualising it so that it's not, you know, just one story. We can just take them down the art gallery and show them a painting and go to the museum and show them something historical and say, that's country.
Yes.
It's got to be personal to different locations.
Kevin, I'm picking up that it's virtually cultural awareness on steroids. It's powerful. It's on ground, on country, with the mob. They're teaching the kids. They're getting educated on the mob, on the country, elders and what have you. They're in the community. It's powerful and simple.
It is powerful, yeah. And you know what we've done is, you know, because it was such a small part of the overall investment, but what an incredible investment it was that we gave the schools some money to employ a separate person into the school. We call them cultural mentors. So someone who isn't there doing the busy work of schools and helping schools, you know, get kids back to school or to navigate difficult conversations with parents. Their job is to sit and work with teachers about the things that they need to know in their classrooms about how they're teaching. So it's not that they're not there to tell a math teacher how to teach, you know, advanced mathematics, but they are there to observe what happens in classrooms and how teachers engage and teach Aboriginal children and how they can understand and be better at doing that work. So it's a very much a relationally focused project, and these cultural mentors work with the elders in the community, and they work out what is it that we're going to have this time with them. We give them the whole 12 months to work with the teachers, but intensely we give them 10 weeks and say, what are that 10 weeks and what are things you want these people to really know about this community?
So this has been practiced now, Kevin? This is up and going? This is happening now, yes?
Going right,
and how long has it been running for? And how's the results looking?
Well, the results are fantastic. But we've been running for 4 years. So,
okay, brother,
The project started, you know, basically right at the beginning of bloody lockdown. So we were really sort of
in the thick of things.
not being able to get out to the schools.
Yes.
You know, for those first 2 years, that was challenging.
Yeah.
But we've settled now, and we start each year, like, you know, basically, you know, first few weeks of term one, the schools have identified the teachers. We come along and the community, and we yarn up in the morning, get in the bus, and then we go on a really big drive. And, you know, sometimes, like, you know, one of the schools we went to, you know, they got, and we drove about 80 k's out of town, and they wanted to show these teachers this particular scar tree, you know, but it was a story, you know what, it was a story on the bus, and the story coming back on the bus was as important as actually being there. But the whole thing was the whole experience of being there with those people and yarning up about what was going on and where they were going to go to and what that particular tree represented for them, and then the stories that went on the way back home.
Yes, yes, yes. Powerful. And so if you look at it, the teachers become students, don't they?
They are, absolutely. And this is what the teachers actually say. It's extraordinary that some of these teachers have been in the schools that they're working in, and they've been there. Some said, look, we've been here for 20 years, and we thought we had a bit of a reasonable knowledge of the community. We didn't know any of this. You know, like we were working in a school in Wollongong, you know, big industrial city, and the community wanted to sort of say, look, you know, we're not powerless, we're not helpless, and we don't have, you know, we just don't sit here and wait for white people to come along and do this stuff for them. We've set up our own medical services. We've set up our own legal services. We've set up our own employment services. So they wanted to take the teachers and say, you know, you might think that we're just sitting here and bludging, but have a look at what we've done, and have a look at what we do, and have a look at, sort of, in a sense, the infrastructure we're putting into our community. And that was an eye-opener. They had no idea. They had no idea that these facilities had been set up by a community, run by a community, administered by a community, and they were running really effective programs to really serve the needs of the community. You know, they just had no idea about that.
And regarding the students, are we talking primary, high school? Are we talking what ages? What grades?
Are both primary, secondary, and all the way through from kidney right through to year 12. But our primary work is actually sort of helping teachers to become better teachers. So,
good.
As I said, we take these teachers, a cohort, you know, 6 or 8, sometimes 10 teachers, and we take those teachers through a whole year of activity, which, you know, centres back over and over again back to this concept of country and community and community aspirations.
But yes.
One of the things that's really important, Trevor, is that we haven't given up on the notion of treaty, and we actually have, at the end of our project, we're asking schools to have developed the micro treaty between themselves and their communities on what the community wants education to look like over the next 50 years.
What do they really want?
And how do they want schools? So it's not about, like, you know, in the sense of, you know, more football for the football club or more new jerseys for the, you know, but it's about sort of what is education going to look like for us? What do we think is absolutely critical for us? And often they turn to the question of we want to see language and culture really represented here. We want our kids' senses of identity to be really understood.
Yes.
And we want to see those things as being really positive for students. The more they get of that, the more they're willing to be at school, the more they're engaging their math lessons and their science lessons and everything else. Because most parents, they want their kids to be numerate, they want them to be literate, and they want them to get good opportunities to get employment.
Exactly.
I've had a parent ever say, I don't care about education. They do care about it really intensely.
Sure. And when you look at it, we live in a forever changing world, and things don't change if things don't change. Change is the engine of growth, and you've got to adapt to the changes to move forward. Yep.
That's exactly right. And we're sort of in a sense of